Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word shepherd is used in the Old Testament to describe the king and the prophets and the priests and all of the governors of the people of Israel. The people of Israel were considered to be the sheep who have various kinds of shepherds. In the New Testament and in other parts of the Old Testament, the idea of a shepherd points to a Redeemer King, the great Messiah, the Lord who is our shepherd. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Redeemer of all lost sinners, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Now, it's not exactly a flattering description of Christians when the Bible refers to us as sheep needing a shepherd. Sheep are kind of dumb, and sheep have a tendency to kind of wander off and get lost. Sheep also have a tendency to fly into a panic over nothing, right? So it's not exactly a flattering picture for free Americans to think of themselves as sheep. But hear me out here. The point is this: however gifted any of us may be in the things that reason is subject, or that are subject to reason. In our jobs, we may be corporate magnates. We may be successful in the eyes of the world in many things. We may have family and friends who look up to us and rely upon us for help and for comfort and solace. But in spiritual matters, right? In the things that pertain to God and His Word, we are all by nature blind and dead in our sins. And we can do nothing of ourselves in order to remedy this. So any help that we need must come to us from God. We can't save ourselves. We can't even get the ball rolling. If we are left to our natural human tendencies, we will die in our sins and perish in hell. Right? But God has not left us to our own deserts. You know, in the world, we may be successful and we may be impressive. But before God, we are lost and condemned creatures that need to be redeemed. And therefore, God has sent His only begotten Son to be the good shepherd who giveth His life for the sheep. You see, we could never save ourselves. We could invent the most magnificent religion that the world has ever seen. And we could be magnificently devoted to all of its practices. But because our hope and our trust is in a man-made thing, it is a product of spiritual death, decay, and is under the condemnation of God. So you see, as long as you keep your eyes on the fact that in spiritual things, in the things pertaining to eternal life, we are lost and dead in sin now, and that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come to redeem us and save us from this. Once you see this, now it's not so unflattering to be called a sheep, right? Better to be called a sheep than to be called a lost and condemned creature, dead in sin and under the wrath of God. That's really unpleasant, but it's the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, and Jesus has come to rescue us from this plight. And so He says to us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm not like the hired hand. The hired hand sees the wolf coming and runs. Why? Because he's a hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. But that's not me, Jesus says. All right? I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and they know me. All right? So we're talking about a relationship of grace, mercy, and salvation here. Jesus sees the devil. He sees the sinfulness of the world all encroaching upon his sheep, and he steps in and he does what is necessary to save the sheep. And that means he gives his life for the sheep. So here, when we think about Jesus as the one who is the good shepherd, he is the fulfillment of all that sheep shepherd talk in the Old Testament. It would do us good to spend a few moments today, just mere moments, on Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, when you read this psalm, you are to think of yourself as one of God's sheep, and therefore you are celebrating the wonderful thing that it is to be one of God's sheep, right? To have the good shepherd. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He is my savior king, right? He is my caretaker. He is everything that I need for spiritual life and sustenance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I lack nothing. All right? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have everything that I need. I have covering for my sin. I have forgiveness of my sin. I have new spiritual life that is growing within me. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells me and empowers me and moves me so that I will God's will and not my own will. So I have everything that I need. And when he sees that I am in need of some temporal blessing, he steps in and answers every proper Christian prayer. So when David says here by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he is celebrating the fact that because he belongs to the Lord, because the Lord is his Savior, his Redeemer King, he has everything that he needs. He lacks nothing. And then he goes into detail. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, you know, sheep get nervous and they are reluctant to rest. Any little thing, the rustling of the wind in the grasses, any little thing can get them on alert, scare them, and get them tense. And so here it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. First of all, he brings me to the place where he feeds my soul. That is, through the word and sacraments, we are acted upon by the Lord, and he feeds our souls so that we are spiritually nourished and we are spiritually emboldened and encouraged so that we can rest. So think of the sheep going into a nice grassy place, eating themselves full, and then lying down and taking a nap, which is things that sheep are not really prone to do when they're in a place that's not familiar to them, all right? So here we see what happens to us in church. when we come to church and when we hear the word of God and when we receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, this is our shepherd making us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Thing about sheep is, if you take a sheep down to the river, and that river is bubbling, you know, a babbling brook, the sheep will stand there until they die because it's making noise, right? And they'll just stand there. So they've got to have quiet water. I mean, it sounds funny to us, right? But that's the way sheep are. Think of the things that you get thrown into turmoil about. Think of the things that later on you realize that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was fit to be tied about something that really in the end worked out, right? And that's the way we get. We get thrown into turmoil about things that we shouldn't get thrown into turmoil about. We're like these sheep standing there passing away while the babbling brook goes by, and we're like, that's scary. Right? So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He renews my life. You see this wonderful picture? This is what God does to you when you hear the word and receive the sacrament. He comes to you through these things, and he gives you his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his spiritual gifts, so that your life is restored and your spiritual strength is renewed, and you go forth from church and you go forth from word and sacrament ministry encouraged, renewed, and looking forward to the next week of serving the Lord with joy. All right, and so this wonderful picture here of what the Lord does among us through his word and sacrament. He makes us lie down in green pastures, full and happy, right? And he leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. This is happening to you right now, right? And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is, the Lord who restores your soul, the Lord who feeds you with his word and sacrament, also sends you back out there into the world. And he leads you in the world in the paths of righteousness. That is, by means of his word, he teaches you the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness. He shows you the way that you should walk. He teaches you the attitudes that you should adopt and those that you shouldn't adopt. He is always guiding you and leading you. He goes ahead of you and you follow him. And as you follow him, you are walking the way of the paths of righteousness. And he does this so that your life will testify to the reality of your good shepherd. All right? Then he changes gears a little bit. And he says, because, you know, this is a thing that we spend a lot of our time in life trying not to think about. We are all going to die. Right? Every one of us, no matter what kind of health food diet you go on, no matter whether you wear 20 masks on your face, you are going to die, all right? Nothing is going to stop. When God's day to call you home comes, you will go, all right? And until that day, you won't. Nobody believes this anymore. That's why we go into a panic when the government manipulates us with its threats and its lies. All right, so what we do is we go into a panic because we don't believe that God has determined the day of our death. But we are all going to die, and it behooves the Christian to always remember this, even when we're thinking about leading to still waters, lying down in green pastures, walking in the paths of righteousness, even when all those things are occupying our mind, we always remember the fact that in this world, unless the Lord returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, we will all die. We will all die. And so the Lord says to us here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. All right? So we know that as living people, living in this temporal world, this fallen and sinful world, we know that sooner or later, we are going to die. We may die quickly, we may die not so quickly. But because we know that the Good Shepherd is with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear. All right? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. All right, so Shepherd had two things that he carried on himself at all times. Number one was a tall staff. It was the stick by which he nudged the sheep. So if one was straying off to the side, he'd reach the staff out and he'd nudge it back into line with the other ones. The other one was his rod, which was basically a baseball bat. And that was used to club the wolf to death with, all right? So here it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is the instrument of punishment for the devil and his servants, and the staff is the sign of divine guidance and help. All right? So when we read it, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but we are not afraid. Why? Because the Lord is walking through us with it, and his rod and his staff, these outward signs, they comfort me, just like you and I are comforted in the fact of our baptism. And we are comforted in the Lord's Supper, by which he gives us his true body and blood to eat and drink, to pledge to us and to seal to us the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. So yes, we are mortal, but we're not afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with us. And the fact that he went to the cross and died and was buried, and then the third day rose again from the dead, the Lord going before us is an assurance that death is not the last word about us, but the last word about us through Jesus Christ is life, light, and salvation. Wonderful. So, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. You are with me, and your word and your sacraments comfort me. All right. Then he changes subjects again a little bit here, and he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So here, the picture is a bunch of grumpy unbelievers spread out all over the place, right? Grumpy unbelievers. And there is the believer sitting at this wonderful table where the Lord himself is the one feeding us. He has prepared the table for us. What does this mean? It means he shows that we are favored in his sight. The Lord shows his favor, his grace upon us by the way that he treats us. And the world must keep its mouth closed and realize that they do not have the thing that we have. Not because God wouldn't give it to them, because they won't have it. All right? Remember, those who do not believe, they are not in a state of unbelief because they cannot believe. How do we know this? Because they believe all kinds of stupid things, right? So it's not that they can't believe. It's that they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe. They want to remain the masters of their own destiny. Some masters, right? We can't even run our families in the modern world, let alone, you know, simpler matters. So here God shows his favor to his own by preparing for them a banquet. So God, there's my grumpy enemies out there, and you are treating me like a very special favored son. You are banqueting me here in their faces. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, to us, that sounds pretty disgusting, right? Imagine if you were at a dinner table and somebody walked up behind you and poured a half gallon of olive oil on your head, all right? That would not be kind of a looked forward to thing, right? You wouldn't really like that. You'd feel like, oh, now what do I do? I gotta go change my clothes. I've even got olive oil in my shoes, right? So you're in that situation. But to the ancient Near East, those people in the ancient Near East living in this hot burning sun constantly all the time, they always had chapped everything, right? So olive oil applied to the body was very soothing and comforting. It was cooling, it was refreshing. It wasn't what we think it was, because we come from the northern hemisphere and we come from a place where it's always temperate. But if you lived in a place where a cool day was 110 degrees, you might look forward to a little olive oil poured on your head, all right? So when he says here, thou anointest my head with oil, he's talking about a great festive blessing, a sign of God's grace. Thou anointest my head with oil. You have given me your Holy Spirit. And then he says, my cup runneth over. You make me celebrate so much that my cup, and he's talking about a cup of wine here, all right? My cup is literally overflowing. That's how generous you are to me in my need. And you're doing this right smack dab in the faces of all those people who look down on every Christian and say, what a bunch of saps, what a bunch of jerks. Imagine getting up early on Sunday morning to go and listen to some guy blather on and on and on with all that religious stuff. And we Christians, we go, yeah, I'd like to do that. Too bad we don't have it on Monday. I know, I'm pushing. All right. But in spirit, we're all there, right? In spirit. All right, so thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God is generous in his mercy. He is so caring that he wants the world to know, these are my people. Come and join them in faith. You see? And then he goes on and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So from now until the day that I die, God's goodness and mercy, they come along with me, they accompany me as I go through my life in this world, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And this is what the last verse. So We live our life in this world with God's goodness and His mercy following us all the days of our life, and then we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, by His suffering, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand, He has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us, and we live in this life under the mercy of God until He takes us into the kingdom of glory. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.